You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeder.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
It is Monday, May 2nd, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, from a long, long vacation. Donald Trump, still the front runner in the Republican primary.
That's true.
Bernie Sanders announcing his strategy to stay in the race. Meanwhile, there are no more Hollywood conservatives meeting in secret. Sorry. Also, fascinating polling on basically the Bernie Sanders base, the young. What it reveals about what I think even some Bernie Sanders, ostensible Bernie Sanders supporters, get wrong about Bernie Sanders. Meanwhile, the Green Zone in Iraq, not quite overrun, but certainly infiltrated with anti-corruption protests. Not what you'd have expected, I think, if you heard that the Green Zone had been infiltrated in this country and around the world. May Day protests. Some turn a little violent out in the West Coast. Over the vacation, we missed the sentencing of a guy who oversaw impeachment hearings. Well, the impeachment of a president because of his sexual dalliances, who received letters of support from a party that is very concerned of what could happen if transgender people are allowed to go into an appropriate bathroom for their gender. Also, Puerto Rico has its largest default ever. More to come. Detroit teachers on a sick out. The TTIP, steps cousin of the TTP, documents are leaked. And glyphosate, probably carcinogenic, according to the UN. The Verizon strike continues. All that and more, ladies and gentlemen, on today's program. You know how it is. When we come back from vacation, I like to go sans guest. That is French for without a guest. Also, during vacation, I like to learn a new language. And I learned French, at least to the extent that I could say the word without. That was as far as I got. I don't know why I started there, but I knew I'd be able to use it on Monday. So we are sans guest today to catch up. And tomorrow, of course, is the Indiana primary. That's a big deal in the Republican race. If Donald Trump wins, and he is now ahead in the polls, if he wins there, I think it's basically over. It may be basically over, and
it's true.
And we're all gonna kill.
True. I mean, look, I'm not even doing the
Michael
impression.
Michael's gonna
It's true.
It is fascinating. And of course, I was in Las Vegas last week. Throughout my travels and over the course of my staycation here this week in New York, the range of beliefs of what Donald Trump represents in terms of his chances to become president, we're going to talk more about that on the program as we progress. Some house cleaning for you. If you missed any of last week's interviews, do yourself a favor. Go back and listen to them. Meg Jacobs, we posted late on Friday. We apologize for that. That interview was fascinating for me. House cleaning as opposed to keeping? Give me a break. No. All right, Michael, whatever. Tell your maids what you want them to do. I tell mine what I want them to do. Our live-in maid that we have at our house. She's 10, and she doesn't do anything. She's 10, and she does nothing. Meg Jacobs on the role of oil and oil personnel in our country is fascinating. And people really enjoyed the Thomas Franks interview. Frank, I should say. Listen, liberal. And Joseph Singer. Actually, all of them. One was about the role of black people in the abolitionist movement, which is, I know, I mean, it runs counter, wasn't it? I thought it was Ken Howard.
Did you know that black people are involved in the abolitionist?
That's right.
And they're Republicans.
Does anybody remember what the name of Ken Howard was on? There was a TV show about a white basketball coach who, and we will get to Denny Hastert later in the program. But you should go back and listen to all the interviews.
Now
and
they of course, know to the not teaser, use him as a wrestling coach anymore. And the market
the teaser of Two Dope Boys, which of course played on Monday. Let me just also tell you. We have a lot of ads in today's program. We never had this many ads. In fact, this is, I think, by far the most amount of ads we're going to have in this program. And there's two things I want to say about that. One is, if you become a member, you get no ads. Now, members may, I don't even know if we should include this because I don't even know if we're going to end up getting paid for one of the ads in today's program. There are actually two ads. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. It is your membership that make this show possible. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And, you know, as we start talking about the Bernie Sanders stuff, I mean, you know, we have pissed off a decent amount of somehow Bernie Sanders supporters because of our talk on Bernie or bust. And I happen to be a Bernie Sanders supporter. I would probably argue that when we had him on the Majority Report back in 2004, 2005, it was probably close to his largest national exposure up to that point. He had been on Hartman's show, I think, for a year or so before that, but Hartman was only on, like, I think, three or four affiliates before he got on Air America, maybe five or six. And I think back in 2004, I said I would love an entire Congress full of Bernie Sanders. Never contemplated the fact that he would even run for president or get this far. But on this program, I will not do things or say things because I think it's going to increase our membership or our audience. I just won't. Say that again. And it's just not in the nature of what we do on this program, regardless of what the issue is or who the candidate or whatever it is. We never, ever, ever look at our numbers and say, hey, we should do more of this. There are times where we say, like, oh, you know, for our videos, like, we've done too many Donald Trump videos because he's just too funny. But we never, ever, ever look at our numbers and say, we should head down this. That's why we don't. you know, people have said, you know, we talk about Sam Harris sometimes, or men's rights activists or whatever. To the extent that we talk about those things, it's because they stick in our craw. There is a recipe to get big in YouTubeville and generate more revenue there, or even in podcasts. And there are times I wish I had that bone in my body, but I don't. So we rely on members. So if you have the wherewithal. With that said, let me go just talk briefly about May Day for a second. And you'll see where I'm going with this, because we garnered some attention from our advertisers today. And you'll see where we're going with this. First off, the May Day. It is generally considered that the origin of May Day came from what essentially was a strike, or a protest, I should say, in Chicago at Haymarket Square. And they were protesting for an 8-hour workday. Or I should say, there were workers striking for an 8-hour workday, and there were protests and protests and demonstrations around there. Somebody threw a bomb into that protest, and I think it killed like 8 people, I think it was. And out of this Haymarket massacre or affair, sometimes you get riot and whatnot, May Day, and I don't even think this was on May 1st. I think it was like May 3rd or 4th or something like that. But this is the broad strokes. But contemplate this for a moment. There was a sense in this country, and it wasn't until really FDR threatened to pack the court, that the idea of an 8-hour work week, the ability for government to say, we're only going to allow workers to work for 8 hours a day without compensation because you had sweatshops. Same with child labor laws. Same with a 40-hour work week. It was unions who fought for this stuff, and it was ultimately government that imposed it. Now, from a libertarian perspective, let's say, this would be an infringement upon the freedom of contract. Now, this freedom of contract, you heard Joseph Singer last week talk about how even when you deregulate, it's a taking. And on day one, when society gets together and creates a society where there's a government, and even if you're a libertarian, you believe in some limited form of government. Well, the moment that limited form of government comes into existence, it is picking winners and losers. And then when you deregulate, you're picking others winners and losers. It's always happening. You cannot escape it. That's the way it is. An 8-hour workday, yes. The loser is people who want to exploit their workers and force their workers. If you're not going to work 12 hours a day, Matt, don't come in this office. Good luck finding a job. I'm supposed
to seriously specific. Get out.
But and this is something you should keep in mind. Keep in mind when Verizon's workers are striking. Keep in mind when we hear about tax on regulation from Republicans, we're going to hear this. You know, Donald Trump's going to be talking about waste, fraud, and abuse and regulation, blah, 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 just because that's what they tell him to say. But I got a great email from a regular listener who a few years ago had sent me a piece, and I remember covering this, about how industry had innovated, the car industry had innovated so much because of government regulation, whether it was CAFE standards or safety standards. We have incredibly safe cars, relatively speaking, from what they used to be in this country and what they are worldwide, even. Because of government regulation, it causes them to innovate. Now, I know the argument is the marketplace will take care of it. Do you know what the highest selling brand car is in Latin America, ladies and gentlemen? It is the Chevrolet, made by GM. Well, here's a piece from Friday, April 15th. There's an organization called the Global NCAP. I don't know what it stands for. It is a, oh, it's the New Car Assessment Programs. It is a vehicle safety organization. And at carscoops.com, I will concede I don't normally read that. It's reported that Global NCAP has asked, politely, GM, the maker of Chevrolet, to improve South American cars after a record zero-star rating for safety. The lack of airbags and other safety requirements, such as seatbelt pretensioners on Chevrolet cars in South America, has led to a record zero-star safety rating. So in other words, they're not forced to have airbags. They're not forced to have seatbelts. Still the number one car. I'm sure there are all the other cars. I'm sure there's no option there for the vast majority of South Americans to get a car that is as safe as the one in this country. And the reason why it's as safe in this country is because the government has required it. And, of course, the government also helped GM out of a bind, seems to me. And I have no problem with that. There are definitely some who do. Meanwhile, I want to take a moment to introduce you to our today's sponsor, libertarianism.org. Libertarianism.org is the premier resource for learning about the theories, principles, and history of free societies. Their site has podcasts, videos, free books, classic reprints, and insights from experts, past and present. Libertarianism.org is great for those of you who are skeptical that there's one way to do things. I mean, hey, why not err on the side of more freedom? Some respect for what makes us different. To learn more about free and open societies, visit libertarianism.org.
Is the read completed?
Well, I got one more piece.
Oh, okay. No, I know, but I just the whole time you're reading that section of it, what I kept hearing in my mind was, if you could just play the Milton Friedman.
You know, one of those things about those free and open societies is that you don't have the messy things of, like, you know, I don't know, getting on people about, look, just let the consumer buy what they want. And if it's a bad product, they'll have the opportunity to sue, or just simply that business will go out of business. 26 people, reports CNN, many of them from a single family, are dead after ingesting sweets that had been mixed with pesticide. The The pesticides supposedly are banned in Pakistan, but people just use it because there's not strong enforcement. And undoubtedly, it got into a problem. But of course, I'm sure that in Pakistan that they have cured cancer because they don't have an FDA. That's
well,
the one.
Yeah, see? With, take getting with in one the way, hand, give with the other.
Exactly. There it is. Now, I guess people have been really paying attention to the show. I think that's where those sponsors come from. And they must also know, about the quality of our employees here. Because also sponsoring the program is ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Do you look across your desk at one of your employees and say, I should really go and see if I can upgrade on my employees? Well, do you have any idea where to post your job to find the best candidate? If you post in one place, you're not going to find quality candidates. If you want the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. So easy. So easy. So easy. Too easy, Michael. Too easy. Keep that in mind. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the person fast. Look, I will tell you that when we were looking for new hires, where we got Kelly and Matt, the hardest thing, I had not heard of ZipRecruiter at this point. The hardest thing for me was to keep just a record in my head, or just, you know, I had spreadsheets. I tried to do it all, and it was just so disparate. Who have I interviewed? What did they say? What were my first reactions on the first email they sent me back? All this stuff. ZipRecruiter makes it easy. And I'm telling you, the best time to start this process is when you don't need to hire somebody, when you're not under the gun for 2 weeks. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 businesses. Right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. So check that out, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody wants to know if it was an April Fool's ad, my earlier ad. No, it wasn't. I really debated as whether or not we should do that. But I said, screw it. All right, let's talk about, I want to talk about a little bit about what's going on here with the races. Because, of course, this is, you know, I think we're there, folks. I think we're at peak Trump. And I think he's going to win in Indiana. And it's hard to imagine they're going to be able to deny him the nomination. And it's done it. You have John Huntsman, the voice of reason in the Republican Party. Right. And I know there's this sense that Donald Trump's a wild card. And I have said on this program that I think Hillary Clinton does not match up as well against Donald Trump as Bernie Sanders for a number of reasons, just in terms of like the way these campaigns play out. Do I think that there is a chance that Donald Trump could win in a general? Yes. If he's the nominee, of course. Because he's one of two people who have a chance to win the presidency. But the Republican Party, since people have been exposed to this crap show that is the Republican Party. 33% of the public has a favorable impression of the Republican Party. 62% have an unfavorable view. In October, 37% viewed the party unfavorably. 58% viewed it unfavorably. The decline in favorability since then has come from Republicans themselves. 68% of Republicans view their party positively, down from 79% last fall.
Deep bench.
Deep bench.
You can never, as a politician, chase what people thinks.
You can't chase what they thinks.
He is Fred Norris level.
Jesus. Democratic Party has remained steady at a 50% unfavorable opinion.
We steadily don't like them.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. But all the action is with young people, folks. And we will get to that because there's a fascinating poll out from Harvard. Some things we missed over the break. I think Cliff and I may have mentioned this briefly on our members only show. Some of you signed up for our email blast and got. But I've been saying this for some time, that the Breitbart coverage of Trump has been extraordinary, extraordinary. BuzzFeed reported last week, Donald Trump's campaign paid Breitbart News national security editor Sebastian Gorka $8,000 for policy consulting last year, according to the FEC commission filings. Filings show that the payment to Gorka was made in October. I wonder if there are other, I wonder if they realize, like, maybe there's other ways of paying off these people too. Just a separate investment in a company. I mean, this is the entire story of the Republican Party, folks. Completely, just a series of cottage industries.
I've just done it better. I mean, look.
This is also sad, catching up on the news of the past week. The Friends of Abe, a clandestine club for Hollywood conservatives for more than a decade. This was a Breitbart thing, too, incidentally. Which hosted secret events where they could vent right-wing views and hear speeches from visiting Tea Party luminaries. Has dissolved. Guys like John Voight, Jerry Bruckheimer, Kelsey Grammer. I would bet also like Vince Vaughn. Who's that other? James Woods and Chuck Woolery. I bet you all these guys belong to this. I wonder if it was like 98% male and then Bo Derek would show up. Pretty sure she's Republican. Yeah.
Okay. And still around.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, effective immediately, we're going to begin to wind down the 501c3 organization, bring the sustaining membership dues to an end, and do away with a costly infrastructure and abespal.com website, which is like, if you go there, you have to put in a login. You can't see anything. It's so secret. Because these are such an, they're so oppressed. They're so oppressed. It's like a secret society. I'm surprised they didn't call it like Anne Frank's Attic. Apparently, ladies and gentlemen, understand, we are 2 months away now, 1 month away from the California primary. And apparently it has become so rancorous within this secret organization that they had to shut down. They couldn't handle the potentially divisive showdown between Trump and Ted Cruz and John Kasich. We will still get together for drinks and speakers, but we may reassess how we approach those events logistically. In short, will return to its roots. It'll be a passion project like it was in the beginning. We'll still be a private organization that protects the names of our members at all costs. Because, you know, there's nothing worse. You get so... people criticize you if you're a right winger. The group was named after Abraham Lincoln. Swore members to secrecy by adopting a line from the film The Fight Club. The first rule of the Friends of Abe is you do not talk about the Friends of Abe. And now there's absolutely no reason to at all. I love it. Bye-bye. Sleep on that.
John Voight didn't want to share his bunker or something?
That's right.
Is that what was going on?
Yeah. Yeah, there was no room to sleep in John Voight's bunker. However, had John Voight had the opportunity to hear me talk about Casper.com,
there you go.
He'd have an extra bed. The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Look, mattresses can cost over $1,500, but Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin-size mattress, $600 for a twin XL, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, $950 for a king, and they deliver it right to your door. But you know that's not the best part about it.
No.
Nope. Well, it combines a springy latex and supportive memory foam, creates an award-winning sleep surface with just the right amount of sink, right amount of bounce. Time named it one of the best inventions of 2015. Yeah. Can you believe that? It's crazy. It's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. It ships for free to your door. Ugh, but what if you get it? How many seconds do you get to try it? You open it up, you sit down on it, I don't like it, you send it back. If only you had the opportunity to spend just like one night sleeping on your mattress to find out if you like it. How about 100 nights? They give you 100 night risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. It is made in America. Unbelievable. And right now, you get $50 off any mattress by visiting Casper.com/majority and using the code majority. Casper.com/majority and using the code majority. Check it out, folks. Of course, you can go to majority.fm and get more information on that. All right, let's talk about Bernie because... here is Bernie Sanders at the National Press Club yesterday. Oh, and we're going to talk about the Correspondents' Dinner, but I have to be honest with you. I just don't give a crap. I mean, somebody tweeted at me, like, was that you at the Correspondents' Dinner? And I laughed out loud, like, at the idea of me going to that. And then I really honestly, like, I gave it some thought. Like, would I go? And I've gotten invites in the past, but it was never like nobody was going to pay for me to go.
I would go if Ben Carson was president.
No, but definitely. I mean, honestly, like, if... And I thought about this. Like, I was like, I would never go to that. But if I was to be paid to go, in other words, like my company had bought a hotel room and was having a party and was sending me down there and it was part of my job, I would go and I would probably, I don't know if I'd enjoy it, but I might enjoy it. The best part of the whole Correspondents' Dinner, as far as I can tell, was that Ryan Grimm, friend of show Ryan Grimm, basically, I think this was like now 7 or 8 years ago, Amanda Turkle, who works at the Huffington Post, and I think at the time she may have been at Think Progress. I'm not 100% sure about where she was at the time. But she was ambushed by this guy, Jesse Waters, who, not a good person, for Bill O'Reilly's thing. And I can't remember why she was ambushed.
That was like 7 or 8 years ago. Was she just like just out of college at that point? Why were they harassing her?
Because she
She's
was
not
a
like
woman.
A frontline person at all.
No, it was just a total
intimidation.
That is
horrible. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. And so Ryan Grimm, who is the Washington bureau chief, Amanda Turkle works with him and you know, arguably works for him, or at least, you know, he didn't forget. And he saw Jesse Waters at a party. And apparently the party was at the Institute for Peace. Sorry, peace. And he he saw what's his face, Jesse Waters, and went up with his video camera and basically ambushed him. Said, why did you, I don't know exactly what he said, but something to the effect of like, you know, why did you harass Amanda Turkle? What did you hope to get out of that? And apparently Jesse Waters did not appreciate being ambushed that way, not at the Institute for Peace. And so he grabbed Ryan Grimm's phone. And then Ryan Grimm proceeded to physically return the phone to himself. So that's the only thing that I regret about missing at the correspondence dinner. Everything else I'm not terribly excited about.
What a woke
I mean,
you
Larry
up.
Wilmore did a fine job, but I just watched that this morning. But the rest of it, I honestly couldn't care.
Oh, Obama's less. Always pretty funny.
And I would, you know, again, somebody paid my way down there, I'm going to go, but I'm not putting money out.
Yeah, but I mean, if someone paid your way to go to like a, you know, some, like opening of a hot dog museum somewhere, you would go.
Without a doubt. I would probably go to that before the correspondence.
Exactly.
Dinner.
So, I mean, no, that's not really a high bar there.
There's virtually nowhere I wouldn't go if someone paid my way. And if it's a hotel and I could justify it, you know, at home, like it's a work thing.
With the same sort of spirit of respect for the audience that we have, I'll just say, insert Jew joke here.
It's not a question of being cheap. It's just sort of like that.
No, it's just
something like that.
What's free?
You know, that doesn't enter. Well, you know, like we're going to go to. Well, this is a good opportunity before we get into the Bernie stuff. I'm debating about whether or not to go to the convention. It's going to be very expensive to go. It's going to be very expensive to go to these conventions. Anywhere between $1,500 and $4,000, because you got to pay in to get a workspace if you're going to do a show from there. Hotels now are just, of course, gouging, whatnot. We can try and raise money for it, or, you know, this year we haven't had any major tech things. So I don't know. I'm of two minds of it. But the question is, and you can go to my Twitter feed, at Sam Cedar. And I think if you stay on the profile page, I have it pinned up at the top. I just figured out how to do that. Should I go to the Republican convention? Should I go to the Democratic convention? Should I go to both? Should I go to neither? Now, we will do, if I don't go to the Republican convention, we will do coverage from this room. And we'll do full coverage. I mean, like 8 hours a day of mocking every speech up there. I'm serious. I will live here to do that.
Oh, no, that's going to happen. Even if you're
there.
It'll
be like, it'll look like one of those things like where they send mafia guys to prison. And there's one guy, you know, Paulie's in the corner cooking eggs. And
Matt will be
cards.
Over there. He says, what you got to do is you got to dice the garlic. What you do is a very thin slice. I'm like, hey, come over here. We're about to make fun of Tim Pawlenty. He's speaking at 2 p.m.
Exactly. I mean, in some ways, that might be more fun. I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to find at the convention. I would be more inclined to go to the Democratic convention because then there's going to be interesting people there I could talk to. At the Republican convention, I'm just going to talk to the same idiot over and over again.
And our favorite, well, I won't call him idiot, but we already have like a direct line to the Republican brainstem that calls us every day.
Right. I just don't know if there's going to be more of that. But so go and vote. I won't abide by your results, but I will. That will become a.
Interesting. This is what Sam says to his wife before a conversation with her. I won't abide by your opinions or feedback, but duly noted.
No, that's not what I say to Nikki. I say that to Mila.
Well, yeah. What do you say to Nikki?
Whatever. Oh, whatever right. You want.
Sure, it's fine.
Fine.
Please.
Just tell me what it is that you want me to
just
do.
Just direct me.
That's it. Okay.
Male lack of vitality.
That's right. This is totally spontaneous. All right, so here is Bernie Sanders at the National Press Club yesterday. He is being asked about his path to victory. We've talked about this in the past, but let's hear Sanders say this.
Superdelegates.
Yep.
I believe in 2008, President Obama convinced several dozen to switch their position. And never before, of course, have superdelegates gone against the person, flipped to go against the person who led and pledged delegates. So how realistic is this pathway?
Well, Lisa, as I've said, and let me say it again, we have an uphill climb. No question about it. It is not going to be easy, and nothing I'm telling you today suggests this is going to be an easy fight. But I think you're going to have, again, we don't know what's going to happen in Indiana on Tuesday. We don't know what's going to happen in the 9 other states. We don't know what's going to happen in the 4 other elections. But let me put this into your mind. What happens if we do really, really well in the remaining 10 states? And what happens if the polls continue to show that Bernie Sanders is the strongest candidate against Donald Trump? Do I believe that there will be some superdelegates? How many? Nobody can tell you. That there will be some delegates who say, you know, I came on the Clinton campaign even before Sanders got in. You know, but I want to rethink this. Because what is most important is beating Donald Trump. If, and that's an if, I admit, but if that scenario plays out, yeah, I do think you're going to have a lot of superdelegates who say, you know what's most important? It is most important that we defeat Donald Trump in November. John Wagner.
Okay, so there's Bernie talking about a play for superdelegates. And now, in some instances, he's saying that in states where I've won a majority, superdelegates should be in my favor. They should follow their states. But at the same time, he's also saying that I want to get the superdelegates from states that didn't vote for me. Let me explain what I think is going on here. And I think, and I've said this before, that when Bernie Sanders talks about the superdelegates, I think what he's doing is providing fodder for the press so that he has a reason to stay into the race that the media can perceive is legitimate. Okay? I mean, the bottom line is, I want him to stay in the race for a number of reasons, not the least of which, because I think it continues to create pressure on the Clinton campaign. Do I think that it is the same when Clinton says A? Do I think that she's going to be compelled to do A if she is president? No. Do I think it helps? Yes. Do I think it helps orient where the Democratic Party is? Yes. Do I think it orients where the political center is perceived in the country? Yes. Do I think it helps to build a movement for the future? Yes. There were plenty of things that Barack Obama campaigned on and reversed. Bankruptcy crammed down the first of many, in my estimation. Nevertheless, that doesn't change the political dynamic of what people want It increases it. It enhances it. Now, bankruptcy crammed down pretty narrow, but people still talk about it. Closing Gitmo. An example of it. And I'm not even sure that it's his fault that it's not closed. It's more complicated, but at the very least, he's still being held to that, to that promise. And we're getting closer. So I think there's a lot of value in Bernie Sanders staying in the race. But understand, this superdelegate stuff, I'm not going to pander to you, even if we agree on just about everything. The key is going to be people continuing to stay engaged. And this notion that somehow Trump and Bernie Sanders are the same because they both represent some type of outsiderdom, that is bullcrap. That is not why people are supporting Bernie Sanders. That's not why they're supporting Bernie Sanders. They're supporting Bernie Sanders because of the issues he's promoting. I think there's a percentage of people who are supporting Sanders because they don't want Clinton. But do people really think that Bernie Sanders would be doing demonstrably worse if it was Joe Biden instead of Hillary Clinton? I don't think so. I don't think so. And there's polling out that is really fascinating. And this is for those people who think that, like, it's all about being an outsider. And that's why Trump is going to get a lot of Bernie Sanders votes. You know that Bernie Sanders' greatest strength is with people, voters between 18 and 29 years old. That cohort has a 54 to 31 favorable to unfavorable view of Bernie Sanders, higher than any other candidate on either, in either race. Hillary Clinton is only 37% favorable with those groups. Donald Trump has only a 17% favorable, 74% unfavorable amongst those people, 74%, 21 points higher unfavorability than with Hillary Clinton.
Because he represents xenophobia and bigotry, which young people don't tend to like.
That's right. However, if we are to believe the laziest analysis out there, and I'm sorry, this is the laziest analysis out there, and it's been there from the beginning, and I'll tell you something, I think part of it is propagated in two, because there's a certain group of people who either can't accept or don't want to accept the fact that there is strong support with young people for the idea that healthcare is a right. There is strong support with young people, the idea that things like Social Security should be expanded. There's strong support amongst young people that higher education is a right. That we have evolved as a society where we can actually offer that as a right. So the idea that they're voting for Bernie Sanders because he's an outsider and he's not part of the establishment, just like Donald Trump is an outsider, not part of the establishment, is belied by the fact that among 18 to 29-year-olds, according to this poll from the Harvard Institute of Politics, which looked at something like, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 people, Clinton beats Trump 61% to 25%. Let me repeat that. 61% to 25%. There are 14% undecided don't know, even if they all break for Donald Trump. It would be 61% to 39%. No one here has been alive. I don't even think McGovern lost by that type of percentage. He lost all the electoral vote, but I don't think like, in the popular vote lost that. Now, it is quite possible that these people are not aware of Donald Trump. Maybe they're not aware of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
And maybe also a lot of them have not seen the scene with Karen's mom in Goodfellas where they realize that she's like Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
And they can never vote for her.
That's the Dennis Miller thing. Just to say that.
Just a very obscure reference. Yeah, yeah, that's how it works.
But just keep this in mind, folks, all right? This is not about outsiderdom. It is simply Hillary Clinton is, for the most part, closer on the issues to Bernie Sanders than Donald Trump is. On some of them, it's a huge gulf. Now, I know Donald Trump, he's an everyman. You know, when all the stuff comes out, and maybe we should get Wayne Barrett. Is it Wayne Barrett?
I think he's the guy who made the documentary you're talking about.
He used to write for the Village Voice, and he did it in a bio on Donald Trump. He made a good point. I can't remember where I read this, but you know the $1 million? I got a $1 million loan from my father.
Mm-hmm.
And as ridiculous as that is, the real truth is that there's not a single deal that Donald Trump made in the first 10 or 15 years of his career that wasn't having to be guaranteed by his dad. Now, look, I got no problem with that. A lot of people, when they get their first apartment, for instance, their parents have to guarantee it because the kids don't have a loan. I mean, a credit. But the idea that Donald Trump was a self-made man, that he had the same, that he had to face the same sort of obstacle. No, his dad might as well have bought everything that he did because it was his credit. Every deal that was made, Donald Trump's signature irrelevant on the document. It was just Donald Trump Sr. that the people cared about because that's the backing. All of this stuff.
The way he knew Ed Koch to begin with.
I want people to also contemplate this. You can say 18 to 29-year-olds, they don't know the details of, I don't know what, Vince Foster Gate yet. But I can assure you, in terms of what's going to come out in the general, it's going to be a lot more about Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton. And I just want people to keep that in mind. Just because, now this doesn't mean that I'm a fan of Hillary Clinton's policies or her personally or any of it. It's just, I'm trying to give you some analysis that is not blowing smoke up your ass. And this is just simply the reality.
You know, the other irony of it is that the other people who've deployed this argument quite explicitly that they're just sort of two sides of an outsider coin is Hillary people as a way to actually diminish and demean what Bernie is doing
of
and has done.
Of course.
When you buy into that, you're actually feeding and reifying one of the most disingenuous arguments that's been deployed against them by
the
Clinton.
Reason why you hear this. And I don't know that everybody who promotes this is doing it for that reason. But the reason why this lazy analysis is so quickly adapted, I'm going to be clear on this, is because either A, people subscribe to Bernie's issue sets, but don't believe that the American public is ready for it, or B, want to discount the idea that the American public is ready for it and sort of attribute it to some just broad general anger. The Democratic Party is not mad at the establishment. I may be, you may be, Matt may be, and Michael may be, but if you look at the statistics, they are not. And that's important because it means to the extent that Bernie Sanders is having success, and he's having a tremendous amount of success, particularly relative to where anybody have anticipated. And if this guy had been involved in national politics with the money that is sloshing around in Clinton Inc. for just not, never mind the past 30 years, the past five, I don't even think this race would have been close. There is a tremendous amount of enthusiasm for his policies. And that's very important to remember. Because it gives us all something to work for and an achievable goal. an achievable goal. I think that's huge. I really do think that's huge. All right, we've gone way too long. Let me just finish by saying two things. One, Bernie Sanders is showing beyond any shadow of a doubt that the Americans understand that there is an important role for government. That as you develop in a civilized society, the floor gets raised for everyone. And listen, the bottom line is the reason why when the floor gets raised, that means that the top level has to pay more into it. That's just it. Because that floor is supporting them as well. That's just the way a civilized society functions. And the irony of like the whole Donald Trump thing is that that is a perfect example of each individual campaign doing what they thought was in their own self-best interests. And the whole getting completely effed. And they're going to be effed. In fact, that's the whole story of the Republican Party. Just a series of individuals doing what's in their own self-best interest. And they're completely effed because of it. Now, we benefit in that instance. By we, I mean normal people. But it just shows the complete emptiness of that philosophy. And just a reminder, thank you again to our sponsor, libertarianism.org. Libertarianism.org has hundreds of informative resources to learn about the theories, history, and principles of free societies. There are podcasts, videos, free books, classic reprints, and insights from experts past and present. Learn more about free and open societies at libertarianism.org.
If you could just play the tape with Milton Friedman, just please play the tape. There is a company. This is called Libertarianism in Singapore Israel Jetpack, and they're making a jetpack ski boat that teaches children math. So why do you oppose that?
646-257-3920.
Spend a little more money on the commercials.
All right, folks, take your phone calls. I'll turn on the IM machine. Don't forget, it's your support that makes this show possible. JustCoffee.coop, Fair Trade Coffee, Tea, or Chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. I hope you did not ignore my... I hope you did not ignore my my pleas to get Just Coffee when it was 30% off. But now it's back to 10% off. Going to have to wait till next April, maybe. If you buy crap from Amazon, least you can do is buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Also, jet.com. You can get it at majorityreportkickback.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Did you have problems?